playing. And thank you, Missy, for that beautiful offertory. I forgot to mention what number it was in the hymn book, but it's in the bulletin, right? So anyway, it's good, good. And again, thank you for coming this morning. Just good to be here. It's good to be here. And how amazing that we get to sing about heaven. I mean, is there a greater theme than to sing of the blood of Jesus Christ that provides a way for us to be redeemed, that we might inherit eternal life and be heirs of Jesus Christ and heirs of heaven? It's just, God is so good to us. And so it's no wonder we have something to sing about, because we do. And I trust you're rejoicing in what God is doing, what he has done. Remember, this life is pretty short, very short. And the older we get, the more we realize that. But it doesn't matter whether we're 10 or 20 or 60 or 80. Life is short. Eternity is a long, long time. And now is the time to lay up our treasure in heaven. Because then we won't be able to lay it up anymore. It's going to be done. Now is that time. So let's be faithful and let's trust the Lord. And let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I'd like us to read verses 1 through 8, or I'm going to read, and I appreciate being able to preach this morning. I'm filling in this morning, so bear with me, and see if I can remember how to do this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and verses 1 through 8. And I would like us all to stand together. If you found that, let's stand together. Follow along as I read. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 1 through 8. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. You know, that's all that we need to know. Jesus Christ and him crucified. That takes care of everything. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. For had they known it, had they known of the power, the resurrection, the love of Jesus Christ, had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Lord, we know it. We know this Lord of glory. We know you and we love you and we want to serve you and be faithful, but we fail and we fall and we sin. And we grieve the Holy Spirit. But thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, that your grace is sufficient. Your grace is greater than all our sin. Abound in grace, did much more abound. So we praise you, Lord, and we thank you, and we love you, that you're so good and kind and compassionate, and that you've gone to prepare a place for us. We have a reservation in heaven because of your love and your grace. Thank you, Lord, for this time together when we can open the Word and preach the Word and take part in this feast from the Bible together. Bless the Word to our hearts. Help me as I preach. Help us all as we listen. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Had they known, if only they had known, if only they had taken the time and effort to know, if they had only humbled themselves to seek God's will by faith. If by faith they had received the words of Jesus, they would have known. If they just would have believed Jesus Christ, they would have known. Words like, you must be born again. Or, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. John 5:24. They knew the scriptures. They knew their Old Testament scripture. They would have known. They could have known. God would have revealed to them that Jesus was not just a man. His Spirit would have revealed to them that he was indeed the one sent from God. But this was the wisdom of God in a mystery, hidden wisdom, a mystery revealed to the faith of those who believe. But they believe not. All they had to do was take God at his word and believe. Wisdom from above that can only be received, not obtained. Wisdom that can only be given, not grabbed. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30 and 31. Look at those verses. If you're not there already, turn there. 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And this knowledge of the holy is only found by humble faith. Humble faith. Isaiah 66:2, we read, for all those things hath my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord, but to this man will I look. This is the one I'm going to look to. This is what I'm paying attention to. Even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. Oh, that we would tremble at God's word. But men do not tremble at God's word today. The world and their rulers, as always, will, in their pride and rebellion and hardness of heart, set out to build their own Babel and attempt to make their own way to a man-made heaven. And there are multiplied millions who have made their own way, are trying to go up some other way, and they are thieves and robbers. Romans 1:22, professing themselves to be wise, worldly wise, they became fools, and they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. He, Jesus, came to those who would do that. He came unto his own. He came to the nation of Israel, but his own received him not. John 1:11. They rejected him. They rejected him. And they would nail him to a cross. He came unto his own. His own received him not. You see, from the preaching of the cross, it's to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God. 1 Corinthians 1:18. In fact, let's turn there. We're in 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God. And then look at verse 21. For after that, the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom, knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign. The Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. We read Mark 1:14. Now after that John the Baptist was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent, believe. Repent, believe. Repent, believe. Turn from your own way and believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior. He came unto his own, but his own would not own him. His own would not claim him as their own. Have you claimed him? Do you own him? Does he own you? That's the question. The God who formed Israel, saved Israel, established Israel, stepped out of the infinite glory into the finite realm of man. He went from glory into the midst of his own people. And when he did it, they killed him. They killed him. He left heaven. He left in the right hand and the throne of God. And he came into his own and they murdered him. They murdered the perfect, spotless Son of God, the Lamb. They killed him. John 12:13, we read, and they took branches. We'll turn there. John 12:13. Is that? John 12:13. And they took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him, and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And thus we honor that day and celebrate by having Palm Sunday. I think today is Palm Sunday. And they cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel. We read in Luke 19:41, and when he was come near, he beheld the city, and he wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. If they had only known, if thou hadst known, he said, if thou hadst known, the things that belong to thy peace, the way you can have peace, trusting in me, trusting in me. I saw him, ears heard him, hands even touched him, but they didn't know him. They didn't know who he was and what he could do for their sin-sick, Satan-controlled, hell-bound souls. And so I say again, if they'd only known, they could have known, they should have known, if they had only known. In Matthew 22:29, Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures and the power of God. They could have known, they should have known, but they didn't know. On more than one occasion, on very, very many, many occasions, I have said, if only I'd known. Oh, man, if only I had known. I should have known, but I didn't know. There's been a time or two or three or four that in my enthusiasm in mowing the lawn, I have mowed more than the lawn. And the conversation with Roberta goes something like this. Roberta says, my, the yard looks nice, but where are my flowers? Me, I don't know. What flowers? Well, they were right here. They were just coming up, just ready to bloom. Me, I didn't see any flowers. Roberta, well, they hadn't bloomed yet, but they were almost ready. I should have known. I could have known, but I couldn't fix it. I couldn't go back and unmow those flowers, could I? Or there was a time I was helping pull weeds, and we hate weeds. And anything that looks like a weed gets uprooted. And this perennial flower that she had planted looked just like a weed, like all the other weeds. And I should have known it. I should have asked, but I didn't. And I blew it, and I couldn't fix it. I couldn't unpull that weed very well. I've tried before, and it never works. It never works for me. Or there was a time that if only I had known, if only I had known that the speed limit going through the town of Heston, Kansas, south of here a ways, was 30 miles an hour, I would have slowed down and I wouldn't have gotten a ticket from the city cop for going 42 miles an hour in a 30 mile an hour zone. But officer, I said, I didn't know. I didn't know that was the speed limit. And he said, well, you should have known. There's a sign right back there that says 30 miles an hour. And was he going to show mercy? Nope. This was, I was the guy he needed to give a ticket to, you know. Had the princes of this world known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 7 and 8. Part in part says, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They could have known, they should have known, but instead they hated, they despised this altogether lovely one who loved them even in their sin. And they despised him so much they would murder him. John 3, verse 19 and following, we read this, and this is a condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone that does evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest their deeds should be reproved. But he that does the truth comes to the light, that his deed may be manifest, and they are wrought of God. Light has come, but men love darkness. Men went to their dark corners instead of the light. When Christ was born of a virgin, the angels glorified God. The shepherds came to worship him. The wise men came to honor and adore him. And all men could have known of this miracle of grace. John the Baptist declared, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And later, John the Baptist's head would be chopped off and laid on a platter. Jesus turned the water into wine. He fed the 5,000. He healed the multitudes. He raised the dead. He spoke great spiritual realities that no man ever spoke. He said, I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. I am the water of life. I am the great shepherd. I am the door. We read John chapter 6, 7, and 8. There are countless episodes recorded of the earthly life of the Lord of glory, where he miraculously fed the multitudes. Where he took a few fish and a few loaves of bread and fed 5,000 plus women and children, maybe 15 or 20,000. He calmed the storms. He cast out demons. He gave sight to the blind, strength to the crippled, speech to the mute. He healed the leper. He raised the dead. And he taught in such a way that men marveled and said, never man spake like this man. John 7, 46. He took children in his arms. He embraced them and he blessed them. And he said to the men who would not believe, you do err. You do err, E-R-R, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. Matthew 22, 29. You do err, you sin, you make a mistake, not knowing. You don't know your scriptures. You don't begin to know the power of God. They could have known. They should have known. And had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Jesus was apprehended in the Garden of Gethsemane. And there we read in John 18, 6, that as soon as he said unto them, I am, he said, I am he, they went away backward and fell to the ground. This was a great I am of the Old Testament, the God of the Old Testament who came in the person of Jesus Christ, who is still the great I am, who said, I am he. And so powerful were those words, they all went backwards and fell to the ground. Again, John 18, 18, 6. And in Luke 22, 53, he said, be ye come out against a thief with sword and staves? Are you coming out against me with your swords and your rods like you're going to beat me and kill me as though I were a thief? And then he said, I was with you daily. Every day I was with you in the temple, and you didn't stretch forth your hands against me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. Speaking of Satan, this was Satan's hour and the power of darkness who came against him. Satan led that band of men in the Garden of Gethsemane to apprehend him, to take him, and to crucify him. They bear false witness against him. They found men willing to lie, to tell bald-faced lies against him about this man who was perfect, perfect in every way. If they had only known. The high priest asked him and said to him, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am. Again, I am that I am. And you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, coming in the clouds of heaven. Mark 14:61-62. You shall see the Son of Man coming. And then the high priest tore his clothes and he said in Mark 14:63, what need have we of any further witness? You've heard his blasphemy. What think ye? And they all condemned him to be guilty, guilty, guilty of death. And they spit on him. They buffeted him. They struck him. They slapped him around. They bloodied him. And yet Pilate found nothing worthy of death in him. In Luke 23:14-15, he said, I find no fault in this man. He's done nothing wrong. He's innocent. And by saying, I find no fault in this man, Pilate didn't know what he was saying, but he was right on track. No fault. He was holy, perfect in every way. But they cried the more, saying, let him be crucified. And then he released Barabbas unto them. Matthew 27:23-26. He released a murderer, a criminal. And he would crucify, he would kill the spotless Son of God instead. And so, Mark 15:28, he was numbered with the transgressors. He was considered and treated as a common criminal. He was treated like someone had murdered someone else. He was a criminal. That's what they did to criminals. They nailed him to a cross. They nailed him to a cross, the torturous instrument of a painful, agonizing death. And sitting down, they watched him there. Matthew 27:36. They would be entertained by watching the Lamb of God suffer on that wooden cross, sitting down. It's like, well, let's have a picnic and let's watch him die. They reviled him. They mocked him. They laughed at him as he hung in agony. Matthew 27:39. They killed. They murdered. They murdered in cold blood the Prince of Life, the awfulness, the wickedness, the hideousness of their crime, the darkness of that hour. Here is the Lord of glory, the Messiah, who came to save his people. He came to save them and bless them. He loved them, and these people for whom he came, who loved him, they killed him. They killed him. Their hands were stained with his blood. And yet Jesus cried from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Luke 23:34. They know not what they do. Oh, if they'd only known. If they had only known. But they knew not. They could have known. They should have known. But we read they knew not. In Acts 3, look at Acts 3, if you would. And verse Well, let's begin at verse 13. Acts 3, verse 13. And the God of Abraham and Isaac and of Jacob, and the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom you delivered up, and you denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just, and you desired a murderer, Barabbas, to be granted unto you. And you killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised up from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I know that through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before and showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And then he says in verse 22, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. In other words, a predetermined foreknowledge of God you have taken. In other words, God ordained it, God predetermined it. It was God's plan, and yet these wicked men were held accountable for it, were responsible for it. Both are true. You have taken, and by wicked hands you have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden or held of it. We look on in astonishment at the utter foolishness of these wicked men who could commit such a crime, such a horrible sin. But what about us? What about me? What about you, to whom the mystery of God has been revealed? This mystery is no longer a mystery. It's been revealed. We don't understand it all. It's a mystery in that sense, but it's been revealed. We who look back on the cross, are we in such a spiritual state, such a holy walk in life, that we will not face a very serious accounting one day? We will face that day. We will, every one of us, every single one of us. You are not going to be the exception. Every single one of us will give an account before him one day. And if we only knew what that day will bring forth, when the secrets of men's heart will be manifest, everything in my heart is going to be open to him with whom we have to do. When the hidden things will come to light, when we stand before the Lord of glory, when we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, we're all, every single one of us, is going to appear before the Bema, the judgment seat of Christ. If we only knew. We all must appear. 2 Corinthians 5:10 is that passage. Oh, if we only knew what we should know. If we only knew what we should know, what we could know. If we only knew that some will not be in heaven who thought they would be there, for without holiness no man will see the Lord. Many will say, Lord, Lord. And I will say to them, I never knew you. If we only knew that, if we only knew the awful terrors of hell that await you, maybe that await you, you'd repent. You would repent. You'd get on your knees and cry out to Jesus Christ to save you. If you only knew the horrors that await you. If we only knew the regrets, the heartaches, the misery caused to our family because of our selfish, sinful living. Galatians 6:7 says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Galatians 6:7, also Romans 14:7-12. the regrets, or the sad regrets of failing, or refusing to speak yet one more time about Christ to that lost soul. Oh, the regrets for failing to do that. If I'd only known. If I'd only known. You know, if I'd only known, I mean me, Terry Post, if I'd only known that the last time I saw my dad would be the last time. If I'd known that there would never be another opportunity to ask my dad about his soul, I would have spoken one more time. But he seemed fine. He was in good spirits. We were driving down the road together out in the farm in the pickup. And I knew I should say, but he seemed fine. He seemed fine. Even joking. And besides, he told me before in no uncertain terms not to bring up religion anymore. He told me that. I shouldn't have listened to him. And I regret that I didn't. If I'd only known that one week later after I was with him, that he was going to kill himself, that he was going to take a .30-06 rifle and shoot himself and go out into eternity, possibly without Christ. I don't know. I hope that maybe he had enough knowledge in that last moment he cried out to Christ. But if I'd have known that, I would have done differently. I should have known. I mean, we're all going to die. All our family members are going to die, aren't they? But if I'd known, I'd have pleaded with him. But each of our families is going to die. Every person we meet is going to die and spend eternity somewhere. We need to be soul conscious, don't we? You're going to spend eternity somewhere. I'm going to spend eternity somewhere. And my family, and my friends. Knowing therefore, 2 Corinthians 5:11, knowing therefore in the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Knowing the judgment that's coming, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, we beg men. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. 2 Corinthians 5:11, 14, and verse 10, I think. If the princes of this world knew, if they just knew, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If they just knew a little bit. We know. Praise God, we know. Isn't that wonderful? I don't deserve to know. I don't deserve to know any more than that Hindu living in India among millions and hundreds of millions of other Hindus who don't know. We know. And if they had known, they would not have crucified him. But we know. I have not seen nor ear heard the things that God hath prepared for them who love him. We know that. We know that. What about you? Is your life a display of the love of God, of the glory of God, and the power of God to save? Every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. I'm not sure where that is. 1 John 3, maybe? I don't remember. And every man that has his hope purifies himself. We're to live pure lives, holy lives, godly lives, obedient lives. Lives spent in the Word of God. Lives spent telling others about Jesus. Look at 1 John 3, and I'll close with this. 1 John 3, verses 1 to 3. First John 3, 1. Behold, what manner of love Boy, and, boy, we can spend time right there. We can just park here. Behold, what manner of love? What manner of love is this, right? Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, that we should be made sons of God, and thus called sons of God. Not children of the devil, not sons of Satan anymore. We were, ye of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. And men love darkness rather than light. That was you and me. I don't care how good we think we were. If we weren't saved, we were in darkness and lost. But what manner of love is this? The Father bestowed upon us. We should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knows us not because it knew him not. It doesn't know you, doesn't understand you because it doesn't understand Christ. Beloved. And by the way, if people treat you and look at you and think, man, that's a strange bird. Again, I've shared this many times, but after Merlin, I got saved, the word got out, don't go over to Terry and Bert's house, they got religion. And they'll get the Bible out and they'll read it to you. So you want to stay away from their house. And people did, and we got real lonely. But they didn't know him. And now all of a sudden, we did. Praise God. But beloved, now are we the sons of God, and does not he ever fear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is, and every man that has his hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. You have that hope? Then we're to live a pure life. A life of obedience and godliness. And you say, I can't do it. By God's grace, you can. You say, but I've sinned. I've committed sin. And I don't know if God can forgive me. God says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from some of our unrighteousness. Is that what it says? No, he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. He takes away all the sin. And only Jesus can do that. You and I try in our own strength, and we just can't do it, can we? We need to just come to Jesus Christ and let him take care of that sin. And he will. He will. He loves for his children to come to him. And you say, but I've done it so many times before. Well, do it one more time. One more time. And he'll forgive you yet one more time. 70 times 7. 490 times he will. And say, well, I've done that. I've already used up the 490. Well, how about 400,090 times then? We can keep coming and coming and coming, and he forgives and forgives and forgives. Praise God for that. May God bless his word. May God bless each of you. And may we all be found faithful, living for him as best we can by his grace. Our Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this wonderful passage, these wonderful verses that we looked at. Lord, and we're just reminded how unworthy we are, how unable we are, how unfit we are for heaven. And yet you have made us fit by your grace and your love and your power. And I pray, Lord, we would honor you with all our hearts and serve you and call upon you often. And just bless, Lord, as we close, we want to give ourselves to you. And we pray you'd meet every need. If there be someone doesn't know for sure if they're going to heaven, doesn't know you as Savior, then they would call upon you now. Then they call upon you right now. Say, Jesus, save me. Lord, save me. I give my life to you. And we know you will save us if we call upon you to do so. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thank you for that promise. Bless us, we close now. In Jesus' name, amen.